Hey, this is Laura.
And Steven.
And this is our podcast, Midday Musings, where we take our lunch break to talk about the things that are on our mind. Today, we're discussing the stuff of life, optimal sleep strategies, why we love water, and solving survival in the modern era. Let's get into it. Hey there, Steven.
Hi, Laura. What's going on?
Oh, I'm just wobbling around.
Just wobbling around like a marshmallow?
Oh, yeah. I'm super duper tired from 3 straight days of getting maybe sleep and having heavy demands. My Garmin watch informs me that my body battery says 49,
ooh,
despite the fact that it is surely noon.
49% left, noon o'clock. Oh boy, that's not great.
I hope nothing happens.
But you know what? Whatever happens, I'm confident you'll be up to the task.
Good. I'm glad one of us is.
Don't worry. You got this. You know,
such enthusiasm. I love it.
I'm a big fan of the body battery thing. Oh, actually, mine says I'm at 49 as well.
Oh, great. Then we're both ready for the day.
Like, to be honest, my Garmin watch, I know you're supposed to get up to 100% at some point. Usually it hovers around like 60 to 70 first thing in the day, and then it gets down to 20. I never see it get up to 90, except for like once every 3 weeks on a blue moon when I've rested and I've slept 8.5 hours and I've gotten 2 hours of REM sleep. And then it's like 95. I'm like, cool. Next day, back down to 20.
Back down to 20?
Yeah.
20?
Well, 20 at the end of the day. At the end of the
okay,
day. Not at the start of the day.
Yeah, I was like, bro.
Yeah, I know, right?
I know. I genuinely don't know what metric Garmin is using to create the body battery number, but that's not good.
Yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I do like all the things that you get with the smartwatch and the Garmin tracker, but I would be very curious to find out how do they track the body battery? Is it stress?
I imagine that it's sleep related. Do you remember, and listeners, do you remember Resident Alien? Okay, so Resident Alien is a sci-fi show that recently got licensed on a number of streaming platforms. Netflix, Peacock. Anyway, Alan Tudyk plays an alien that masquerades as a human. At a certain point, he's like, guys, this body needs 10 hours of sleep.
Yeah.
To perform. What are you doing? They obviously were interrupting his sleep. And that felt very real to me.
Yeah.
The this body needs 10 hours of sleep idea is authentic to me as a human. I feel inhuman with only 8 hours of sleep.
Even Alan Tudyk, as an alien inhabiting basically a human body, is like, I need 10 at least. This body that I'm in needs 10 hours of sleep. Oh my gosh. I feel like I need around 7 to 8, honestly. Like 7 to 8 and I'm good. Anything less than that, I'm like, I'm loopy. Can't function. But everyone needs different levels of sleep, honestly.
Probably.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think a solid 10 is good. It should be recommended by the government to the citizenry.
10 hours of sleep a night. I think I've slept from a year ago to now, I've slept maybe 10 hours once or twice.
That is horrifying to me. You should be sleeping 10 hours a day, at least once a week.
Oh man, that sounds nice, actually. The thing is, I have
So you have to start early is the thing.
Yeah. Like 4 p.m. in bed.
No, you have to. Time. You have to be like preparing for this experience at 7 p.m.
Oh, I've got stuff to do at 7, Laura.
I didn't make the rules.
Okay, so you got to start at 7, right?
Yeah, because I assume you wake up early. Maybe you're the sort of person who sleeps late.
Usually up at like 7.
Yeah, 7 o'clock. Sometimes earlier, sometimes my body is like, how's 4 a.m. for you? And I'm like, not great. And he's like, well, here we are.
So walk me through how this going to bed early thing works for you.
Okay, so you start at 7. You ensure that you have been fed and that you have put away your stuff, like managed your particular area of life, whatever it is. Mm-hmm. Then I highly recommend a major shower. I'm a night showerer.
A big shower.
Yeah. It's a good thing to do for a number of reasons, not the least of which is the benefit of a night shower is that it will relax your muscles.
Oh.
And so it like pre-sleeps you.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, go on. And then you get into bed.
At like what, 7:30?
At like 7:30 to 8.
Wow.
And you acquire your night activity, whether that is your video game, a television show you want to watch, the book you're reading, your cell phone. It's an activity that has no physical component, purely mental, and you begin to physically relax your body until around the 9 o'clock when you set up your sleepscape environment. So maybe that is turning off all your lights. Maybe it's putting peaceful music on in the background. Maybe it's putting on your comfort show. I like to fall asleep to shows. Live your best life. I know people who like to fall asleep to music. Fine. Amazing. Make your choice. And you begin to like power down at 9. You just like say to yourself, all right, if I see 10 o'clock, I will have failed.
In order to actually fall asleep by 10 o'clock, you are targeting like a 7 p.m. to start the ramp down. All the things need to be done by 9 o'clock.
You like, take out your contacts, wash your face, brush your teeth, moisturize. Just like get it done and get into that bed. Mm. That bed is your savior.
But what if you have stuff to do after 7?
See, this assumes that you have structured your day so that you do not. But that's like what waking up early is about, right? Mm-hmm. So that you can get all of the crazy stuff you got to do done before the power down.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. If for that to work, I think I would have to start doing things earlier in the morning, which I had been doing for a while. I used to get up at 5:30, 6 every day without an alarm clock. I did that for like 6 months.
No, tell us more about it. No, you've never mentioned it before.
No one has ever heard about this.
But everyone is fascinated.
Everyone cares so much. No, but like that does sound really nice, honestly. I would like to try to go to bed earlier. I think it's something that would be helpful for me and just for everyone, you know?
Well, the thing is, you have to either go to bed earlier or sleep later. And I don't know which one of those you guys personally have available to you. If you have none available to you, like that's unsustainable. And I wish you the best. You can do it. I can't, but you can.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's that you have to tuck in the 9 to 10 hours of sleep, either by going to bed early or waking up late. And there's no way around it.
Wait, so if you're going to bed at 9 o'clock, targeting 9 o'clock, asleep by 10 at the latest, that's your dream. That's your dream, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you do or is that what you...
Sometimes I'm able to.
Oh, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, so, every day that I do it, it's fantastic.
And after that, you're getting 9 to 10 hours of sleep or ideally getting 9 to 10 hours of
sleep.
Yeah,
and then you're up in like the 6 to 7 o'clock range.
Okay, you're like, fantastic. That's not bad.
This is great.
Yeah, that's not bad at all.
Not at all.
I find that I'm able to do the going to bed thing early more easily once I've just forced myself to get up. I have to actually give myself a bit of sleep debt in order for me to get tired enough to fall asleep. In order for me to go to bed earlier, I actually have to start with getting up earlier and make myself more tired. Because otherwise, it's 8 o'clock, I'm in bed, I'm all energetic. I'm like, all right, I know I should be going to bed soon, but there are 7 things I could do before 10 o'clock and then...
Well, that's why you need the mental activity and the physical stillness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you just have to like focus your brain onto something so that it like it detaches from your day-to-day life and starts to go into either a fantasy realm or an information realm or like a brain dead realm. Do some scrolling.
Yeah.
Disconnect from your life. Dissociate, basically. Like constructive dissociation as your body begins to like power down.
You know what it is? Screens don't really work for me that well. Phone screens? No, can't do it. Sometimes TV screens help, but I get so into shows that I want to keep watching them. So things that are connected to the internet, they don't really help me sleep. But what I found does help me sleep is a book, because that does disconnect me from life, from all of the possibilities. Because like with the show, if I don't like it, I can switch to something else. All of a sudden, now I'm watching this new show that I'm excited about. I'm 3 episodes in and I want to know what happens, you know? And it's a very interactive experience. A book is a passive, absorbing experience. And you don't have any like pop-ups distracting you from other things. I find the organic nature of books really helps me with getting to bed early. And I think that's what I need to do if I want to get to bed earlier,
TBH. I've seen books recommended for like burnout. Like they're really, really good if you're feeling burnt out. And they do bring you back to a level place. I find it's easy for me to get to sleep any day that I've read, which is every day now because the library owns my soul.
Yeah.
But I find phone games are also helpful to me for this.
Oh, for falling asleep?
Reason. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, just for like unplugging from reality. I don't know how everyone else's brain works, but for me, reality is like the thing that I have to be actively mentally engaged in. And that's the thing that I need to unplug from in order to sleep. Because I'll basically be like, the world needs me. The things in my life need my attention. But the things inside my phone and the things on my television and the things in my book, they don't need me. They're fine. They're going on without me. And that to me is very comforting, especially since I find information really quite chilling out, if you will. So like not social media. Social media is tense and interactive. So it needs you.
Yeah.
But like Reddit, which is technically social media, but that I kind of use as a read-only platform. That's a good one. Pinterest, I love. It's as quiet as reading a book, but it's like reading a pretty magazine with no information and just a bunch of images.
Oh, Pinterest might be good for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can even do the activity of organizing things onto boards if you're feeling like you need to engage with it in some way. I'm very much like a child. Just like put some stuff in front of me, let me dissociate, and I'll start to calm down.
Yeah. I'm kind of the opposite. The things you mentioned, I can't put a phone in front of me. Even if it's a phone game, it's too tempting to just get really invested in that phone game very quickly, or to say, I wonder what's happening on Threads or on social media. And all of a sudden I'm on that. And then that's part of job, part of work, you know? So it's like, oh, all these replies need me. So I have to go and reply to them. Pinterest though, I think Pinterest, if it was disconnected from like stuff that needs to be done, just looking at pretty pictures, I think that could be helpful. But I think I might need like my phone in airplane mode, honestly.
Dude, you should put your phone in airplane mode. Literally all the times that you are not on.
Right. And just have only the things that I can interact with it in airplane mode be what I interact with it at night.
Everything on the internet though is available to you on in airplane mode. I don't know if for me it's self-discipline so much as it's a like order of operations that I do. I'm really good at regimenting my behavior. So if I go onto my phone and it's a certain time at night, I don't use social media past like 6 because it's like way too intense for me in the powering down part of my life. Like I'm kind of bad about not being on the darker parts of Reddit, but usually because Reddit is so text heavy, my brain can kind of emotionally dissociate from it. I find that video and pictures produce a lot more emotion in me, and that's what gets me worked up. So if I'm just looking at text, I'm like, rock on. I can be reading the worst thing in the world, and I'm like, okay, there is enough abstraction for me to just chill out while I'm doing this. I have read many, many Holocaust memoirs to sleep. I'm looking at one right now. Hey, Primo Levi.
What comfortable nighttime reading.
I mean, if you're looking to feel cozy in your own life, get yourself like a disaster memoir. Get yourself a nonfiction book about the most troubling times in history. And you'll be like, I love my blanket. I love this glass of water next to me. Look at all the bombs that are not going off in my life.
I love having working water.
Dude,
and internet.
Every single day I have running water, I feel like I've won.
Dude, you remember when we had that issue with the plumbing where the neighbor's plumbing was being weird, and because of that it was impacting our plumbing, and they're like, all right, so for the next couple of days, no one can use any water, or limit your water usage.
Limit your wastewater usage.
Your wastewater usage. And we're like, okay, what do we go and take a shower at the gym? Do we like not make food? Do we not like, I guess we wash our hands, but like that's about it, you know, go and use the facilities elsewhere. And it really made me appreciate when we could use water as much as we do. We use a lot of water in today's society, honestly.
Oh, yeah. Like I mean, water is the best. And like what individuals use is nothing compared to industrial use of water.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. Like every single human being uses far less water than any single company. There are charts for this, but the volume of water needed to produce products is just staggering. The amount of water that we use as a society, as a post-industrial society, will make your head spin.
Yeah.
But like water, electricity, vibes. I love it. I can't get enough of it. And I'm so aware of periods in history and other places that don't have it. Other places, including camping trips.
Oh, yeah.
When I go camping, I have never been so excited for, like, civilized society.
For a shower.
A shower. A
light switch.
Just like a shower a day in the context of camping is the most luxurious activity in the entire world. Did you ever see Tank Girl?
No, I haven't seen it.
Okay, so it takes place in a post-apocalyptic society where there is no water. It's mostly sand. Mm. And my child brain watched this movie a bunch because it was on Comedy Central a bunch. And there's a scene where the lead character is doing what the equivalent of showering is. And it is just being blasted with sand.
It was like a sand bath, like some of those small critters do.
Yeah, yeah. But this, like, to my 5-year-old brain and watching people get killed for the water inside their body, I was just like, oh my gosh, I love water so much. I'm so glad it's here. I used to live in California where we were in a 20-year drought. And having moved to Washington now, I'm just like, oh my gosh, the amount of water that is available to me at any given time, the water falling from the sky. Am I a king? Am I a goddess? Like, what is this endless wealth of H2O?
Oh, yeah. And it rains so much around here. I love how much it rains. It feels so, I feel like I can be in touch with nature without actually going into the forest and getting murdered by a bear, you know?
Oh, a bear wouldn't murder you. It would just hobble you.
Yeah,
a lot.
Oh, my gosh. That's still pretty bad. That's still pretty bad. It's so comforting, too. Like, you know, if you're not out there and you're inside and you just hear the rain falling on the roof, it feels so nice, so soothing to hear the rain fall outside.
Yeah.
Big fan of it. I see where your love affair of water comes from. And it's fair. It's valid. Like, hey, you know, water is a commodity now from what I heard, or it's going to be soon.
It was recently commoditized something like 4 years ago, and it's being traded on the commodities market.
Oh, dang. Yeah, so that's the thing, folks. Water is officially a commodity, not, oh, it's a resource. No, like, it is a...
Well, I mean, resources are commodities.
Well, yeah, but what I mean is it can be bought and sold like any other commodity now.
Yeah.
That's new.
It is new. I have a lot of feelings about it.
I'm sure you
feelings
do.
Too complex to go into now.
I'm sure you do because of your love affair with water.
Well, the thing about things that are traded on the commodities market is that those prices can be driven up.
Mm.
And we, in the last half of the 20th century, thought about water as basically free. It comes out of the tap. It's available in any volume you want. But in the 21st century, we started bottling it and selling it, and it started becoming a different animal.
Mm.
And I think it's through this evolution of everyone drinking so much water as opposed to other drinks and the finite nature of water and the strange behavior of the Nestle Corporation. It all kind of coalesced into the 21st century's market commoditizing water.
Hmm. Well, we made it this far. And you know what? I guess it was a matter of time.
I mean, for now, it's still coming out the tap in whatever volume you would like that you are willing to pay for to your local utilities company. Water is my favorite thing in all the world.
It's crazy that, you know, water essentially is free, in quotes, but like, people will pay anywhere from $3 to $8 for a bottle of water.
I mean, those might be very special waters.
Very special water, right? It's got like pH balance or maybe electrolytes.
Ooh.
Bonus water. Oh, water with bonus water.
Wait, aren't electrolytes just salts?
I don't know. Probably. I know it's what plants crave. That's a 30-year-old reference for you Idiocracy lovers out there. I think electrolytes are just salt. So they're just making salty water.
Consumer products fascinate me. They are always solving problems that don't exist.
Mm-mm, mm-mm.
And I love the creativity that is evidence of.
They're like, look, so we could solve this problem that exists or solve this problem that doesn't exist yet because we have all the resources to do that. And it could be profitable. So let's go solve this problem that doesn't exist yet.
But that's the thing. They're not sitting there choosing not to solve a problem that does exist. Because all the real problems that do exist have been solved. They're inventing new problems to create a solution for because we live in such an advanced society that actual survival problems do not exist anymore. I mean, there is the survival problem of enough money to pay for the things that you need. But in the before times, you had to be able to do those things that you now pay for. And so we solved the problem of needing to be able to do anything and have abstracted it out to being able to afford having other people do the things that we need to have done.
Well, when you put it that way, that actually sounds kind of nice. I don't know. Like, it's
no, like all of this stuff is evidence of advancement, just like the obesity epidemic in America is evidence of having solved the problem of hunger.
Oh, yeah, we are definitely, well, some of us, but as a lot of us are not as hungry as we used to be.
In the United States capitalist society, the turnkey to survival is no longer survival skills. It's no longer resources. It's just money. And I mean, there wasn't a lot of money in existence until like the 18th century. So you had actual real survival problems. Mm-hmm. You had to be like able to get food. You had to be able to produce enough of the articles of life to survive. So like clothes used to be a big problem. In the Middle Ages, people would have four sets of clothes. A lot of historians use the available textiles as a mark of civilization's advancement. So it used to be you had four sets of clothing, and that was amazing. Freaking amazing.
Just four
like,
sets.
Like, even the richest people are working with, like, six to eight.
To be fair, there are some tech CEOs that do seem to only have four sets of clothes, if not one set of clothes.
They have hundreds of versions of that same outfit.
Yeah. It's like Doug from that 90s show from Nickelodeon.
Anyway, so once the textile advancements of like the 19th century and the 20th century went into full effect, we now have like unlimited clothes. You can buy all the clothes you want from Shein. There are no practical limits. Your budget is the only limit. And that's advancement, baby.
I suppose so.
We solve one problem and we make another.
You know, it is nice that we have access to all these things, and because of it, now we have to make up new problems. I know there are certain parts of the U.S. and a lot of parts of the world where that still is a big problem. That's why I'm not giving my wholesale endorsement for that perspective. I'm like, yes, but also, you know, these other parts of the world and this part of the U.S. also can't afford some of the things or a lot of the things.
Right. The problem is money, not the availability of the resource.
No, that's fair. So you're saying the resource exists, but you just have to be able to pay for it. Whereas before, the resources didn't necessarily exist in abundance and people had to like make their own in order to get it.
Yeah. Like there was no amount of money that could get you that resource. Oh,
That's
what I'm saying. We have solved the problem of survival and abstracted the problem out to being able to afford survival. All of the things are available to us. Like in the ancient world, there wasn't enough food, but there is enough food for literally every human being on the planet It's just unevenly distributed.
Yeah, it's a distribution problem at this point.
Access.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of putting it. All these things, they're all distribution access problems.
Supply lines.
Back to supply lines. It always comes back to supply lines, doesn't it?
For me, it does.
Yeah, it do. All right. Yeah, it do. That said, should we give our listeners our lunch break back?
Yeah. Thank you guys for spending time with us. We love having you.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, and we'll catch you on the next one.
Bye.
Bye. This has been Steven.
And Laura.
Thanks for tuning into Midday Musings, the podcast where we talk about all the things on our mind. Be sure to follow us on Spotify and jump into the conversation in our polls and Q&As. We would love to hear from you. Catch you next lunch break.